making love and different things like that. And this month, they've been talking about the word courage. And the Lord's really been working on my heart a little bit about this word courage and about being more courageous. And tonight, I'd like to speak a message about the word courage. And so if you hear some of the illustrations, if you get these each morning and you read that, you might remember some of the illustrations that you hear tonight. But as I go through the Bible, and I think the stories of the Bible, I just think of men and women who are successful, or men or women that are the heroes of our faith. They were people of courage. They were people who did things despite the fact that circumstances were not always convenient. Times were not always easy, but they stood tall. And they were courageous, and they showed courage. You say, what do you mean by the word courage? Well, the dictionary, the Webster dictionary, says it's bravery, the quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness and without fear or depression of spirits, boldness, resolution, valor. And I think that when it says facing danger and difficulties with firmness and without fear, I think you could replace those words and make it a little bit more spiritual, that you can face danger and difficulties with faith. And, you know, standing with your faith without fear and without depression, having valor and boldness and resolution. And, you know, tonight I'd like to look a little bit at this idea of courage. And I think that we need to be a people that have courage. I think we need to be people who stand strong, and that we take steps of faith because we have the courage, and that we don't shrink away from things. You think about it. You think about all the different people in the Bible, and these are just a few that I started at the beginning, and I know I missed a lot, but think about Abel, the courage he had to continue to offer that right sacrifice despite he knew his brother wasn't planning on doing. You think about Noah having the courage to build the ark despite the fact that all the world thought they probably mocked him and they laughed at him and they thought he was a crazy old man for building a boat when there was no water. Talking about Abraham on Sunday mornings, he had the courage to leave his country despite probably his friends and his extended family that he was leaving because of them, but he had the courage to do what God told him to do. You think about Joseph, who stayed faithful. He says, well, there was nobody there. But you think about it, the devil had to be attacking him. The devil had to be asking the questions. This God that you serve, he's left you in a pit. He's left you in a prison. He's made you a slave. He had the courage to stand up and do what was right. You think about Jochebed having the courage to let go of that ark. Think about Moses himself having the courage to stand up to the most powerful man in all the world. You think about Joshua and Caleb, all the other spies and all the other people said, we're not going to do it. And they had the courage to stand up and do what was right. Samuel standing up to Eli and his sons, living a spiritual life. David, when he faced Goliath. David, when he faced Saul. David, when he faced the enemies. We think of even ladies that are known for being courageous. And you think about Esther. You think about the stories of Ruth. I even think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. The courage that they had to show and they had to demonstrate in order to continue on walking with God and walking by faith. It was not easy for them. And the reason why we don't think courage is such a big deal is because many of us today are not living courageous type lives. We're not living the Christian life in a courage type way. Instead, we are living it hiding behind things, hiding behind people. And most people don't even know that we're Christians. Most people don't even know why we go to church on Sunday. You think about Elijah and Elisha. You think about Isaiah and Jeremiah, those prophets. The majority of the world had been wicked, and they were wicked, and they did not want anything to do with the God of Israel, the God of their forefathers. But you know what? They stood boldly with courage in front of many other prophets of Baal, in front of the masses of people that would look at them and would mock them and say, you're a fool to believe that God. You think about Jeremiah in his day and his time, and that he was calling a nation back to God. He was calling a nation back, and they called him a traitor. They called him all types of names. They put him in a pit, but he didn't give up because he had courage. And I think about you get to the New Testament, and you think about the disciples, the courage they must have had. You think about that first century church, about Stephen and the other saints, the courage they must have had just to stand up and live for God. And you know what? That, I think, is missing in so much in our 21st century Christianity. Here in Joshua chapter 1, Moses is passed off on the scene, and God comes to Joshua, and God tells Joshua to be strong. and of good courage. Tonight, I think it'd be good for us to learn some things. There's three things I'd like for us to look at: why we can have courage, what we should have courage to do, and the third reason, we'll get to that in a second. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." You know what? That is a huge compliment that God gives to Joshua here. He's giving this compliment about Moses. He says, look, he was my servant. He served me. Now, we like to remember all the bad things that Moses did, but, man, he did such great things for God. And it took a courageous stand to be able to do these things. There was sometimes up to 2 million different Israelites, and sometimes they were ready to go back to Egypt. Sometimes they were being ornery. Sometimes they didn't want to follow after God. Sometimes they were murmuring, and they had to be courageous. He had to take a stand of courage to be able to work with these people. Let's keep on going. And it says, Moses, my servant, has said, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon until the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." God is telling Joshua here, look, I got a great job for you to do, but you're going to have some courage to be able to do this. You're going to have to be strong in what you believe. You're going to face tremendous tests. He says, and you're going to have some courage to be able to accomplish what God wanted him to do. And I honestly believe this is true in our lives, that God has something great for all of us to do. Obviously, it's not going to be leading people into a promised land, but to do what God has destined us to do, it will take courage and for us to be strong. Verse number 7, only be thou strong. He repeats it again. As he said in verse number 6, he said, be strong and of a good courage. Verse number 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Not just courageous, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. I think it's kind of interesting. In verse number 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage, because he's talking about dividing the inheritance of the land. But in verse number 7, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. But look what he's destining him to do. Doesn't talk about fighting the battles there. What is he destining them to do in verse number 7? It says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I think what he's saying here, that the battles are going to be one thing you have to be courageous against, but if you're going to live for God and you're going to do what's right, you're going to even take, that's even going to be more courage. It's going to even take a stronger stand to do whatever it is the Bible is asking you to do. Verse number 8, that familiar verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. See what it's saying? He's saying that it's got to be everything. You got to be all in, and then he's going to make your way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. In verse number 9, he says it once again. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying. Now, some great verses here, a strong challenge that's been given here. Verses 1 through 10, he says, look, I want you to be strong. I want you to be of a good courage. Tonight, I think that the question is, are we strong? Are we strong in our Christian faith? Are we strong in our Christian life? And do we have the courage to live for God? You know, Christianity is not a game. We've mentioned about some of the heroes of the faith. Listen to what it said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 through 39, when it's talking about people who were courageous. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having attained a good report through faith. And to face those things, and to have a good report at the end that they stood faithful, they had to have courage to do that. And Christian, tonight, I think one thing that's lacking in many of our churches, I dare to say even in our church here, is that we need to be a place of courage, a place where we stand for the truth. And we do that without compromise. We do it with a heart's desire to see God work and move. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, I pray you help us. I pray we leave this place wanting to stand for you in a greater way. Lord, that we would have the courage to take that next step that maybe we've been wandering about and squandering about, and Lord, just not having a desire to do. And Lord, pray, help us to be strong. Lord, help us to be of a good courage. Lord, help us to do everything that you encouraged us and want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to see here under why we can have courage. There's a reason why you can have courage. There's a reason why you can stand up and do something for God. There's a reason why you don't have to be worried about the enemy. There's a reason why you don't have to worry about what somebody else can do to you. And the first reason why we can have courage is found in verses 5 and 9. It says, because God is with us. Because God is with us. Look what it says in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now go down to verse number 9. See what it says at the end of verse number 9. It says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I know we've talked about this point before and we have this understanding, but one of the greatest reasons why we do not have to worry about what the world can do to us or what anybody else can do to us is because Jesus Christ is with us. He's there with us. He's promised us that whatever you face, he's going to face it along with you. Wherever he takes you, he's going to go there with you. Joshua had the courage that Moses had. Remember, Joshua had much courage when Moses was there. He was out there fighting that battle. He was the one that had asked the Lord about standing the sun still. He was the one there that did the work in the battles when Moses was the leader. He was a minister. He had great courage when Moses was there. And you can imagine that while Moses was there, he looked up to Moses and he saw what Moses had done. And he saw Moses' great work. And he saw all the things that Moses had accomplished. And God tells him, look, just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And here's the reason why we can have courage is when we hear the stories of the faith, when we see the Noahs and we see the Abrahams and we see the Pauls and the Peters, and we turn around and we're amazed and we're surprised because they can stand with courage and stand for the faith like that. You know what? Just as God was with them, he's going to be with us also. It's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit of God. How come they could stand being sawn asunder? How could they stand quenching the fires? How could they do things like that? It's because they were strong. They had courage in their faith. Now, not only can we have courage because he is with us, just as he was with Moses, just as he was with all those others, he's promised us he'll be with us too. But second thing why we can have courage is because of the guarantee of victory. Because of the guarantee of victory. Look what it says in verses 5 and 6. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Man, what an awesome promise. You're giving this guy, he says, okay, you're getting ready to go over into the promised land. And this is what I'm telling you, that as long as you do what you're supposed to do, no one's going to be able to stand before you. You're going to win your battles. You're going to win all your battles. It's going to be in a supernatural way. I will go before you. I will fight those battles. And the reason why we can have courage today is because we are not working from a place of whether or not we're going to win. We are going from victory. We are serving from victory. We're not serving from defeat. What Jesus Christ did when he died on that cross, he defeated the devil. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. And where we work from today is a place of victory. It's not the fact that we are trying to win. We know in the end we will win. Yes, good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. But we know that God has given us a promise, and that no matter what happens in our lives, we have a guaranteed victory. I heard one of these illustrations that we've heard this month. It says, I've read about a man who was going around bragging. He was bragging that he had come upon a vicious man-eating lion, and he cut off the tail with his pocket knife. That sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? Cutting off the tail of a lion with a pocket knife? Well, one person began to question him and says, well, why didn't you cut off his head? And why cut off his tail? If you're so strong and great, cut off his head. And the man had to confess. He said, someone else had already cut off the head. But even though I think that was meant to make fun of the guy who was bragging, it is the same truth that we have in our life. The devil is a roaring lion, but Jesus Christ has destroyed the power of the enemy. While Satan is still dangerous, we do not have to face him on our own. Jesus has already confronted him. He's already defeated him. The victory is ours, not through our strength, not through our merit, but through Jesus Christ, we can have the victory over the devil. He's already been destroyed in the fact that he cannot have power over us unless we allow him to. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We must get this, that we've already been crucified with Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We don't have to sin. We can have a victorious Christian life. We have the guarantee of victory. One of the reasons why we can be courageous and we can stand up and have a place of courage and be strong is because God has guaranteed us the victory. He's given us that opportunity. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why it doesn't matter what happens to us when we're walking with the Lord and walking by faith. And the third reason why we can have courage is similar to the second one, is because of the promise of heaven. The promise of heaven. You say, what do you mean? Well, you think about it. What are they going to threaten us with? I remember hearing the story about one man that pointed a gun at a pastor or a preacher, and the preacher looked at him and says, what are you going to do, threaten me with heaven? D.L. Moody said, and there was a story about how he was out on the ship and the storm had gotten really bad and the passengers got really worried and they began to have a prayer meeting, and D.L. Moody chose not to be a part of the prayer meeting, and they came to him later on and said, hey, why weren't you there? And he says, well, I have one sister in Chicago and I have one sister in heaven. He says, it really doesn't matter to me who I see tonight. He says that no matter what happened to me in this world, he says, I'm going to heaven. I know that that's sealed, that's definite. That's the reason why I can stand up courageously. That's the reason why I can be strong. That's the reason why it doesn't matter what anybody in this world can do to me here, because I know I have a promise of heaven. I have that victory that's there. And why can we be courageous? It's because we have victory. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 and 56 through 56 talks about Stephen. How as he was there and he's being stoned to death, he says, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You know, bad things do happen to good people. And sometimes people even die for the faith. And that's the truth about many of the heroes of our faith. But what happened when they died? It was gain to them. When they died, it was gain to them because they entered into heaven. They entered into the presence of Jesus. And then one of the reasons why we can have courage tonight, one of the reasons why we can stand up to an angry world that does not want to hear about Jesus Christ and does not want to hear about God, because no matter what they do to us in this world, someday we will get to spend eternity in heaven. That's why you can have courage today. That's the reason why you can be strong. And Joshua here has been given this command. Be strong and of a good courage. He says, I got a great plan for you, but you got to do what's right. Second thing, not only is why we have courage, but the courage to do what? The courage to do what? I already alluded to this in verses 7 and 8. What does God tell him to do? He tells him to do what's right. If you're going to live in the world today that we live in, if you're going to take a stand, if you are going to be courageous and say, hey, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to be right in a world that is wrong. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to be courageous to do what's right, to dress right, to act right, to look right, to treat others right. It's going to take courage to do those things. It's going to take a sign of bravery. It's going to take a sign of being able to stand against any type of trial, any type of problem that you come across. It's going to take courage. Look what it says in verses 7 and 8. I know I said it to you already once, but he says to him in verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. To do what? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Say, Pastor, what's the big deal about that? He says, that's what I do anyway. Yeah, right. It's really courage to stand up and say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be tenderhearted. When someone treats me wrong, I'm going to still love them. I'm going to respect my husband. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to be honest all the time. And that takes some courage to stand in front of this world that's just going down, down, and down farther. It takes courage. And how we must have courage. And I love the fact that he does this. God puts us here. He says, be thou very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This is where it happens. Verse number 8, this is where your battle is at. This is where the courage to say, I know this word is truth, I know this book is truth, and I'm going to stand by this book, and I'm going to do what's right, no matter what my flesh tells me, no matter what my family tells me, no matter what anybody else tells me, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This is where our battle is. Because the war scenes and the battlefields are going to be so much easier to accomplish when we are courageous with the Word of God and we learn the Word of God and we meditate on the Word of God, because the Bible says that's when we will prosper, that is when we will have success, is when we have enough courage in our own life to say, this is God's Word and I'm going to live according to God's Word, I'm going to memorize God's Word, I'm going to meditate on it, because that's when the Bible says I'm going to have success. The battle isn't won when you see the Goliaths. The battle isn't won when Nebuchadnezzar tells you to bow down. The battle is won when you know the Word of God and you've meditated on the Word of God. Your courage is found. Your backbone is gotten when you believe the Bible and you meditate on the Scriptures and your heart becomes one with the Scriptures. Not only is it the courage to do what's right, but the courage to try. The courage to try. I like the story about Jonathan. He looks at his young man, which is his armor bearer. He says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. You know what? Jonathan was willing to try and go take on this garrison of Philistines. Didn't know how many was there. His father did not have the faith. He did not have the courage. He was sitting underneath a tree with some 600 men. Didn't have the courage to go fight the Philistines. But Jonathan says, look, I know my God. I know God can save by few or God can save by many. He says, I believe in God. I had the courage to be led by God to try what no one else is willing to try and do. See, this is where I'm saying that I think many Christians today struggle with. This is the spot where I struggle with. You know what? God gives us faith and God tells us, I want you to do this next. I want you to branch out. I want you to go talk to your neighbor. I want you to give to this certain cause, or I want you to teach, or I want you to be a part of the bus route. I want you to do all these things. I want you to try what I've laid upon your heart. That's where it takes courage. The Bible says it's bravery. I mean, the dictionary says it's bravery, the quality of mind which enables man to encounter danger or difficulties with faith. And it's the ability to try for the things of God. The Bible says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, so many times when I was a kid, I looked at vegetables. If they're vegetables and they're green, I don't want to have anything to do with them. I don't care if they're peas. I don't care if they're lima beans. You can have them. You know, as a kid, I said, my parents always said, well, have you ever tried to see whether or not you like them? Because whenever they put something new in front of me, if it wasn't what I was used to and what I liked, they says, well, try it. You don't know if you like it until you try it. And that's true. And this is what courage is. God pushes us. And he doesn't want us to stay stagnant in our Christian faith. He tells us, take that next step. Learn how to do something more for me. Take that step. Be willing to grab a hold of what I have envisioned for your life. Try what I... That's what courage is. The courage to take that next step of faith. Paul Harvey tells a story about this man whose name is Ray Blankenship. He was preparing breakfast, and he saw a little girl being swept along the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside the Andover, Ohio, in his home in Ohio. Blankenship knew that farther downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath a road that would empty into a main culvert. The little girl's life was in great danger. This man dashed out the door. He raced along the ditch. He tried to get ahead of the floundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. Blankenship surfaced and went to grab the child's arm. And within 3 feet of the culvert, he had grabbed a hold of her. With Ray's free hand, he held on to something, maybe a rock or something protruding out of the bank. And he says, if I can just hang on till help comes, everything will be okay. He waited for a little while, and he did better than that. He actually climbed out of the ditch, and he brought the girl to safety. He won a medal for it. But the thing was probably the most interesting part of it, this man did not even know how to swim. He was willing to try to do something that he knew needed to be done. It took courage to do that. And we look at the world, and we don't think the world's getting any better. If you think the world's getting any better, you've bought into the wrong philosophy. You bought into the wrong group. You're listening to the wrong people. The world's getting more and more wicked, and we need to see that there's people that need to take a step of faith and try to do what God's called them to do. Why don't we soul win? We don't want to try it. We say, that's something I can't do. See, that's where courage is at. I'm going to try to do something that I know God wants me to do. Why don't we serve? Why don't we forgive? Why don't we deal with that bitterness or that anger or that frustration? He says, I just can't. You don't have the courage to try. See, there's reasons why we can have courage. It's because God has said, I'm always there. You're working from a source of victory, and no matter what happens in this world, you're going to heaven. So go ahead and stand up and do the courage thing. But have courage to do what? To sit and not do a thing? No, courage means that we have the ability to stand despite the danger, to have the faith to continue on, the courage to do what's right, but also the courage to try. Third thing, that courage to do what is courage to stand. You know, after you've done what's right and you courage to try is to stand. Stay where you're at. Don't move. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 14, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That means do everything you know that you're supposed to do. Take on the whole armor of God. Do everything that you know that you're supposed to do. Get ready for the battle. It says that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, everything you know how to do, it says, to stand. And he says, stand therefore. That was the battle. He says, you've done everything you know what's right. Now you're doing what you're supposed to do. Now stand where you're at. Don't move. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what? It's going to take courage to stand in the same spot that you've been standing at for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. As the world gets farther and farther away from God, and if you stand in the same spot, it's going to take courage to say, I believe this is holy. I believe this is right. I believe this is godly, and I'm not going to move off of it just because everybody else does. It takes courage to do that when the rest of the world doesn't, when the rest of the churches aren't, when the rest of our families aren't. Courage to stand. Okay, the third thing. Not only is it why we can have courage, or what we have courage to do what, but the type of courage that does not back down. The type of courage that does not back down. You know, these are the stories that I'd love to hear about. These are the things that really set us, and we read about these things, and these are the stories that we love to preach about. We love to hear about, you know, the courage that they never back down. You know, most of us And I don't want to seem like I'm being rude or unfair to you, but most of us don't have the backbone enough to stand up, to get to the spot where we're going to have to stand up for God. We just leave the backbone at home, and we just go along our ways. And when we come on Sundays, we sing about it and we talk about it, but the rest of the week, no one knows that we're a Christian. And that's the reason why we're not having to take stands, and that's the reason why we're not having to try, because we're just not willing to do it. But the courage, the type of courage that does not back down, first of all, is courage that fears God and not man. Courage that fears God and not man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were not afraid of man. They feared God. And this is why they had courage. They feared God, not man. Peter, when they said, look, we told you not to preach, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's the point here, is the courage. This is the type of courage that does not back down. This is the type of courage that takes a stand and says, I'm standing here and nothing's going to move me until God tells me to move. And it's obeying, fearing God instead of man. Another illustration, among the many notables buried at Westminster Abbey in London is the body of John Lawrence. This is the first Lord Lawrence, the son of an officer. Lawrence devoted his life to serving his country. Nearby his grave is a marble bust of Lawrence with the inscription detailing the many years of service to the British Crown of India and the love of his family. Included are these powerful words: his devotion to public duty was ennobled by the simplicity and the purity of his private life. And listen to these words. He feared man so little because he feared God so much. Wow. You know, the reason why we fear God so little is because we fear man so much. This is not courage. This is not what God saves us to do. This is not the intention he has for our Christian lives. He wants us to be people like Joshua was told, be strong and have a good courage. Another type of courage that does not back down is the courage that will run to a fight. The courage that will run to a fight. And I know some of you might say, run to a fight. And I'm not talking about looking for a fight. But when there's a fight and a battle to be taken on, it's the person that's willing to get involved. He said, where do you get this idea of running to the fight? It's the story of David and Goliath. And this is assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy, the army, to meet the Philistine. Isn't that great? That's the type of courage that's not going to back down. One that sees the fight and says, you know what? That's my battle. That's something I need to do. I'm not talking about putting your nose in other people's business. That's not obviously what we're talking about here. We're talking about when there is a need that needs to be fulfilled, having the courage to say, I'm not going to back down. All those other men, all those other thousands on the side of the mountain that were Israelites, they didn't have the courage. They didn't back down. Now, they had courage. They were warriors. They were soldiers. They were sitting there. How come one was willing to fight and the rest weren't? They had to have some type of courage. They were willing to fight a battle, but they didn't have the courage that wouldn't back down. And here's the last thing is, the type of courage that does not back down or bow down is the courage that has the right vision of God. The courage that has the right vision of God. Look what it says at verse number 5. It says in chapter Joshua 1, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And that next phrase is the right vision of God. I will not fail thee. As you're taking a step out by faith and being courageous and doing what God's called you to do, God will never, ever fail you. He'll never, ever forsake you. See, Pastor, there are those who lost their life. I know there's those who've given their life for the cause of Christ, but that was God's intended purpose. I see this. I see what courage is, and I see that he's saying he's not going to fail us. And how come these people can stand? How come they can fear God and not man? How can they can run to a fight when everyone else cowers away? It's because they have the right vision of God. They don't see the Goliaths, but they look ahead of the Goliaths and above the Goliaths, and they see the God that's on the throne. They don't see the fiery furnaces of Nebuchadnezzar's or the Pharaoh's. They see the God in heaven that's in control of all things. Nebuchadnezzar lived and he died, and you know what? He's gone. Pharaoh lived and died. He's gone. You know, Nero lived, died. He's gone. But God's still on the throne. He's always been on the throne. And that's where the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, their eyes wasn't focused on the Nebuchadnezzar's. The Moses' focus wasn't on Pharaoh. And David's focus wasn't on Goliath. He had a vision of God, and he saw God sitting on the throne. And as he saw God sitting on the throne, that's what gave him courage. Say, I don't have the courage to go and do what God's called me to do. I shrink away at the responsibilities. I'm fearful. What am I supposed to do? We need to get the right vision of God. That's what God's telling Joshua here. Be strong and of a good courage. How do you get the right vision of God? Is that we get into the Bible. We meditate on the Bible. We see the truths that are found in the Bible. And then we allow God to make us what he wants us to be. I know it's a little bit different than our fruits of the Spirit we've been going through, but I think that we need the same courage that only the Holy Spirit can give us. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we will have the courage to stand. We will have the courage to try those things that are new. We will have the courage to do those things that are right, and we'll look past all those other things. We will have the courage that we need as we have the right vision of God. Remember, if you view God as something little and something small, you only do little and small things for God. But if you view our thrice holy God that can do all things and that is all powerful and all knowing, and believe that he loves you and he puts you on this place in this time period for a certain purpose and a certain reason, then you can have the courage to do anything he's called you to do. And that even means those deepest and darkest times, those things that we've shied away from, those things that say, I can never get that right, I can never fix that, I can never start doing that, there's no way I could ever reach that person, there's no way I could ever go on a mission field, there's no way I could ever give in faith promise, there's no way I could ever tell another person about Jesus Christ. They got the wrong vision of God. Because the God I serve can make me able to do all things he desires for me to do. Whatever it is. But you have to have courage. Why can we have courage? Because he's told us he's never going to leave us. He's told us that he's never going to forsake us. We can have courage because we know that we are working from victory. Jesus Christ has done the work for us. We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. We have victory. And no matter what happens in this world, even if we die, and I'm not looking for the first bus up there either. I'm not looking to go. I'm not looking to go tonight. But even no matter what happens, if I go, what are they going to do? Threaten me with heaven? I mean, come on, that's the best thing. I mean, that's why we can have courage today, because we know that no matter what happens in this world, we have a heavenly home waiting for us. But courage to do what? Courage to just sit? Courage to live whatever way we want? Courage to allow the flesh to rule and reign in our lives? No, it's the courage to do what's right. The courage to try as God speaks to our hearts and says, go, do, push yourself for the cause of Christ, pressing towards the mark. And also, the courage to take a stand. Having done all, stand therefore. And last but not least, remember the type of courage that does not fail, the type of courage that does not fall down, the type of courage that does not bow down. It begins with fearing God more than we fear man. And I know these are strong statements, these are strong words, but the reason why we fear God so little is because we fear everybody else so much. But if we have the right vision of God, we see him, we're not going to be looking at those friends that are agnostics. We're not going to be looking at those people that look down to us and say, you're crazy, you're stupid. We're going to see right past them and look above and see still the God that's sitting on the throne. We're not going to be seeing the Goliaths and the Nebuchadnezzars. We're not going to be seeing those, what we consider, humongous obstacles in our way. No, we're not looking at that. Her eyes are slowly shifted above, with her eyes focused on heaven. I'm saying, I'm seeing God. It's the audience of one. My life is playing out before him. I'm not afraid of what man says. I'm living for him. I'm not living for anybody else. And last but not least, it's having the right vision of God and being willing to just look to what he would desire for us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.